going to have a few testimonies from our team here and let them share what they saw in the Dominican Republic, what the Lord taught them and what the Lord did. And there were some great things, so these should be some great testimonies. Whoever wants to go first?
Hello. My name is Cassidy, for those of you that may not know me. Well, first of all, I just want to thank all of y'all for all of your support and your prayers. I'm just really thankful to have y'all as my church family because y'all mean a lot to me. And everything that y'all have like, done for me through all these years, it just really means a lot. But the Lord did so much for me on this trip, and it was just we have really had a really good time. He blessed my heart in a lot of ways. I'm going to share a few brief things and then a couple of things that really stuck out to me. But it was just amazing to see like how open they are to the gospel and like how eager they are to receive it. We went on an outing one day during our English camp, and we were handing out Bibles, and the people were asking us for Bibles. Some of them had some and some of them didn't, and they were like calling us wanting more, and we actually ended up running out. But I was walking by this man, he already had one in his hand, and I had one in my hand, and he wanted it, and I saw that he already had one, so I was kind of like hesitated to give it to him, but then he was like, one for me, one for my wife, and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, take it. So that really like touched me to see how eager they were for God's word. And the Lord actually convicted me about handing out tracts because you know, like I don't do that here. It's a lot harder to do it here than it is down there for some reason. But so he convicted me about that. So if y'all just pray for me that I'll have the same boldness up here that I did down there, because I mean, like his boldness and his power is always there. We just have to receive it. And so if y'all just pray for me about that, I appreciate it. But one of the biggest things that God really blessed me with was he actually gave me the opportunity to witness to somebody one-on-one. And that was incredible. I think it was the first Monday night that we were there. We had gone outside after the service and everything to play volleyball. And I was wearing a T-shirt, and on the back it said, "Change Your Game." And it was like an FCA T-shirt. I got it a Trillion Camp, and it's based on the verse Romans 12:2. Well, this guy that I was talking to him a little bit, and I turned around to walk away, and he stopped me, and he said, "I read your shirt." He said, "Why does it say change your game?" And so I told him, "Well, you know, it really means change your life, but rather, you know, we can't change it, but let Jesus change your life." And so after talking to him a little more, I just saw the door open to give him the gospel. And it was so cool because I knew that, I mean, I had to take, because I knew it was an opportunity to witness, and I knew I had to take it. And so the Lord just gave me all the words to say and everything and his grace to tell him about Jesus and how much he loves him and that he died for him and how he can be saved. So we talked about that for a little while, and then we were closing the conversation, and he said, "Thank you for the things that you told me, and I will try to change my game, but with his help." And so that was just a really big blessing to me, just to let the Lord just, I don't know, I just really got a lot from that, the boldness that he gave me and everything. And like, I've always heard y'all talk about divine appointments. You know, people stand up and give a testimony about a divine appointment that you had, and I never really had, like, a true divine appointment, I guess you could say, but that was a divine appointment, and I was just so glad to be able to have one and that the Lord gave me one. It was just a huge blessing. Just the way he completely planned that out and everything, just, like, me wearing that T-shirt, I mean, just how he used that, it was just really incredible. And then the other thing was I had three really, really sweet girls in my cabin. It was me and Christina and another girl, the other girl that was with us. And we had a lot of fun. We got along really well. But the hardest thing on this trip was not knowing the language. So it was kind of a barrier there, but I thought it was cool how God still allowed us to bond and that how he still established those relationships and how he gave us a love for each other and how we still could laugh and have fun and everything. And the first night we were there, we were talking at night and we were trying to see where they stood spiritually. And none of them professed to be saved. One of them said that she had become a Christian, but she was only a Christian for 3 days. So throughout the week, her name was Rosa, and she seemed to be the one that was the most responsive, the one that was closest, you know, it looked like, to taking that step of faith. And it really, like, broke my heart because I knew that she wanted to be saved, but she thought she couldn't. And she was just from things that she thought, that in her life she thought she couldn't get saved because of them. So if y'all will please pray for her. Her name is Rosa, like I said, and I know God is going to keep working in her life. I just really believe that she's going to get saved. And I know that God is still working, and this is a huge praise, and most of y'all already know about this, but, another one of the girls in my cabin, her name is Ida Haley's, and the last night we were talking, she said that she would think about becoming Christian. And a couple of days after we came home, we found out that she had decided to become a Christian. And so I was really happy about that. And I'm just really excited to see what else God is going to do down there. All the kids have a New Testament. They all have heard the truth. So I know God is going to keep working in their lives and keep convicting and drawing them to himself. So I'm just really thankful once again for the opportunity to go down there. And I just praise the Lord and thank him for allowing me to go and for everything that he did for me down there.
Well, as y'all probably saw, we had a great time on the trip. We had a lot of fun, but it was also a lot of hard work as well. Before the English camp actually started, we went on visitation 2 days, and the Sunday afternoon that we went on visitation, one person asked us, "Can you pray for our daughter, or my daughter?" And so we went in, and Annabeth prayed for her, but it was just different. Like, walking through the village, you see the houses, you see the outside of the houses, and you're like, you see what they look like, and you're like, yeah, that's what they look like. But then when you actually get to the inside, you see how little they actually have. So that happened the first Sunday. And then English classes, that same day, we were doing our planning for the upcoming week, discussing who would be doing what English classes and stuff. And I thought that the Dominicans would be in charge, like, of each of the English classes. And then I got put in charge of, like, beginning English. And I was like, there's no way I can do this. And I was telling God, there's absolutely no way I can do this. And it was like God told me, no, you can't do this, but I can. And throughout the week, God showed me how sufficient his grace was for the English classes, for teaching through a translator, these kids, and teaching them English. There were a lot of things that I didn't expect. I knew this was young teenagers, but I did not expect the girls to stay up half the night. The very first night, everybody went to bed. I thought, good, everybody's actually going to bed. We didn't have any problem. Nobody was complaining about it or anything. And then a few minutes later, a couple of the girls started moving around and talking, and I got up and told them to go back to bed. And then I went back to bed and everything. But they kept getting up and kept talking. And if you know me, I'm not a person that likes confrontation. And I was put in charge of our cabin. And I thought, well, maybe the Dominicans that are in there will tell them something in Spanish. But they had either already fallen asleep by that point or just weren't doing anything about it. Then they're like, all four of them were in a corner doing something, and I'm sure Annabeth will tell you more about that. But anyway, I finally did have to get up again and tell them to go back to bed, and I think Annabeth may have talked to him too. Like, all three of us, Noelle, Annabeth, and me, were like, get back in bed in English, but two of them couldn't speak English very well. So it was like pointing, you get there and you stay there. And I ended up sitting up to like 1 o'clock, because if I hadn't, at least one or two of them would have gotten back and started talking again. So that was really hard, and I was like, God, how are we going to deal with this? Are they going to be like this every single night? And I guess one good thing that came out of that night is it gave me an opportunity to pray for each of the girls individually as I sat up waiting for them to go to sleep. And then the next day, God was really good to us. He put a good Christian girl in our cabin, and she was just a real blessing to us. Okay, where was I going? But the whole week was really good. Four of the girls in our cabin were unsaved. One of them thought she was saved, but said she was lukewarm. One night we were asking for prayer requests, and one of the girls, Annabelle, said, pray for my salvation. So they know that they need to be saved, but they haven't come to the point of making that decision. And if you would just pray especially for Annabelle and Camila. One thing that God showed me through the week is with their behavior things and all that, is that they really don't have anything to base good behavior on, because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't really have a reason to be good, to obey, because they're not trying to please God. One thing that God showed me is that without Jesus, I could be just like any of them. So God really worked in my life this week. He showed me that His grace is sufficient in every situation. And I just want to thank y'all for your prayers and support.
Hey, I'm Noelle. Lower this. I just want to thank y'all so much for y'all's prayers and support, because it was definitely an amazing and a life-changing week, and I absolutely had the most amazing time ever. I'm actually going to start a little before and tell y'all how God provided for me to be able to go on the trip. So I received a letter that the Jemanskys were giving out saying, hey, we're going on this mission trip. It costs this much. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I want to go. I talked to Mom and Dad, and they're like, okay, well, if you can come up with the money, you can go. I was like, okay. So I immediately started thinking of ways. I was like, okay, how can I get the money? Well, mistake number one. So I have had some babysitting jobs that I was doing, and I was like, okay, well, if I save all this money, then I can have enough for the trip. Well, God quickly showed me that I was not going to save the money for the trip, and I was not going to put any money towards it, because one by one, each of the people that I was babysitting for would call me that morning and be like, actually, I'm not going to need you today. I was like, great, thanks. So I went, one of the mornings when they called, I went back, and I prayed, and I was like, okay, God, I was in tears. I was like, okay, well, thank you. I can't do it. Please, if you want me to go on this trip, you're going to have to provide the money, because there's no way that I'm going to be able to provide it. And so I sent out letters, and God provided all of the money in a week and a half. And it was just amazing to see Him work like that, because I didn't have to put any of my money towards it. He provided all of it, and it was just incredible. Once we got down there, we immediately started working, and it was very hectic for the first few days, but it was great. One of the big surprises is when we got down there, they told us that we were going to be the ones that were teaching the English classes. I was like, oh, great. Well, at first, I was okay, because Lisa was in my group. I was like, oh, she can handle it. Lisa can do it, and I'll just be her helper. Well, Monday, after chapel, when we were supposed to go to our classes, we had level one. They split us up into two groups and put me in one group and her in the other. And we were walking out, and I'm like, okay, what are we doing? And they're like, you're going to go teach. I'm like, go teach what? I'm like, go teach the English class. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, I'm the one that's teaching. They're like, yeah, great. So I immediately was praying. I was like, Lord Jesus, I cannot do this. I was like, my English is horrible anyways. They were having a hard time translating my Southern English. It was bad. So I was like, Lord Jesus, you've got to help me, because there's no way I can do this. But he did. I absolutely love teaching it, actually. I would look forward to that part of the day. And even though my class was loud and crazy, and it seemed to grow each day, we started out with like 4 kids and ended up having 7 at the end. I don't know where they came from, but we ended up having more kids in our class. But it was great, and the Lord really helped me. One of the things that really stuck out was when we went on a field trip one day, we went to Tres Ojos, and we gave each of the kids a stack of tracts to hand out. And I wasn't expecting them to hand them out that much. I was planning on when we got back on the bus to gather up all the tracts that they had left, and they weren't really going to hand out that many. Well, they definitely surprised me because they were handing them out left and right. I was towards the back of the group, and we were walking, and I was walking down the street, and there was a line of people there, and each one of them had a tract in their hand. And it was just amazing, and each one of them were actually reading it. It's not like over here when you give somebody one, they might take it and throw it down and not ever read it. They were actually reading it, which was so encouraging to me, and each of the kids were just running around, handing them out, and coming back to us and be like, do y'all have any more? We're like, yeah, and we'd give them out. It was amazing. And another thing that Cassie said with the Bibles, that we were giving out Bibles, and a guy came up to me, and he's like, can I have one of those? I was like, yes, you can have one of these. And so I gave him one. It was just amazing just to see how open they were to the Word and how much they wanted it and stuff. And it was just amazing. And God actually convicted me. He convicted me on the fact that, you know, I'm not a bold witness for him, and that I need to be. And it seemed easier over there. I was like, well, they're just going to be like, oh, it's just an American. They don't know what they're doing, so just psh, they're fine. I'm leaving in a few days. It's good. Well, but God convicted me and told me that I needed to, no matter where I was, I needed to pass out the tracts and live for him and not be ashamed, because the kids were running around and giving them out, and they weren't ashamed, and I didn't need to be either. And but the trip overall was just incredible, and I just thank y'all so much for your prayers.
Okay, I'm John, and Psalm 3:8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people. And we definitely saw that during the English camp. We just saw him in the way he worked, and just how he set everything up. I was in charge of the sports, and almost every day it rained, but it never rained at a time that interfered with any of the scheduled activities. It either rained in the early afternoon and everything was dry enough to do the activity, and it was just great. He also protected us. Some of you may have heard how some people use bug spray. Well, I didn't use it all that much. I used it a few times, but if it wasn't just there easy to grab, I didn't put it on. So I know he protected me from getting all that dengue fever and malaria. So, and he worked in me personally. There were some personal struggles that I was having that he really helped me to be able to find a degree of victory in. And just also through the messages, he taught me to be content with him alone. And but I do have to say, there were several instances where he showed how much in control he was. There were a couple of situations that really could have turned out bad that would have ended up with campers going home on their own, and he worked in it. The first one really I felt like was part of my responsibility, because on Thursday when we, or actually Wednesday when we had our sports time, before that we had big group games, and a couple of the Dominican leaders had asked me if we could do basketball that day, so I decided it was okay. But I mean, the way it turned out, I mean, they did 5-on-5, and some of the guys didn't get to play. One of these guys really got offended at that. He was offended at one of the Dominican leaders, because this Dominican leader was really competitive. He always wants to win, and just that attitude in general caused him to really become offended. So we were finally able to talk to him. You know, we found that out, but. And I was able to talk to him some, others talked to him, but I feel like that may have helped, but I mean, God had to take control of the situation. That guy actually got saved the next day. And if he had gone home that night, you know, which he was planning to do after that sports activity time, he wouldn't have gotten saved the next day. The next situation was on Thursday night. It was the night before camp ends. We had another issue come up. The guys were getting wild. The guys in the other cabin from ours were starting to have some problems. And, you know, Justin went to help with that. But when he came back in, he was still frustrated just with all the buildup from the week. And some of the guys took offense at that. So there were a couple of guys in there that were ready to pack up that night and go too. So he came in. We got all that cleared up, and it was amazing. That night, we actually got to bed before midnight, and they were quiet the rest of the night. But that night, I had felt impressed that I probably needed to give the gospel again to these guys. I've been hearing it all week, but I just really felt like we need to go over it again. And I went through it and asked any of them which, you know, weren't saved to raise their hands so I could pray for them. And two guys raised their hands. I prayed for them that night, and this brings me to another point. God really showed me how He can use me, but He can also work without me. Because a couple of those situations where I had helped with that, and then afterwards I was thinking, you know, this might really turn out good. You know, I was kind of starting to feel that pride start to well up in me. I was thinking, God, You'll have to do it in a way that I can't receive any of the glory. Both times He did that. But He, when the guy got saved on Thursday, He did it in a way where I wasn't connected in any way with His salvation. On Thursday, on Friday morning during chapel, one of the guys that night that had raised his hand, you know, he was really convicted in the morning message, and Justin was able to lead him to Christ afterwards. So, it was a really great trip. I was really blessed by it, and I really got to see God work. So, thank you for your prayers.
All right. The blessings I received really started at the end of May. I received a couple $100 that went towards my passport and was just enough to get my passport and stuff. And the next Wednesday night, we had a meeting, and Miss Debbie was like, well, we only have a couple of return tickets left to come back. By that time, everybody done bought their tickets, and she's like, well, do you want us to pay it on my credit card, and y'all can just pay me back? And she said, do y'all feel comfortable doing it? And I said, well, we can do it. We got this. And, well, a couple of weeks passed, no money came in. All my letters were out almost, and I was at a camp, and my dad called me at ROTC camp, and he said, well, you got a letter today, and I was like, well, open it. He opened it, he said, well, it's a donation a small amount, and it was from a pastor in Gainesville, and I was like, gosh, that won't get us nothing. And a week later, I was at another camp. That Sunday night, Mama was going to tell Miss Debbie we can't do it no more. Just take our names off the list. We won't be able to do it. We can't pay for it. But she says, well, you got a donation for $350 from an anonymous giver. I thought I read the decimal points wrong because it was on my cell phone in a text message. I was like, $35? She's like, no, $350. And so it really just showed, God showed us that we was in control. He was in control, and that we can't do it, and just showed me patience in that. And all my money came in the last 2 weeks. The next thing, the thing that shocked me down there was that we think that they're going to a Christian camp, they're going to straighten up, do right, and everything. But they came in talking the same way, listening to the same music and everything, acting just basically the same way. And God really just showed me, well, they're acting like they would normally do while you're at church and you act better than you would at home or at school. It just made me think that they're not ashamed to say they're not on fire for God, and made me think about the verse in Revelation chapter 3 verse 16, and it says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." So that's one thing I would like y'all to pray for me about, that I won't be like that no more.
I'm so glad that I got to come on this trip. It was such a blessing. I also thank you for your prayers, and what those girls were doing in the middle of the night were planning to do something that, which is putting toothpaste in my ear. And it took a while for me to get back to sleep, and I was tired the next day, and I knew who did it, but she lied and said she didn't. And I was mad and tired, and the theme for the day was rejoice in the Lord always. And that night, Justin preached on grace, God's grace is sufficient no matter what, and that sermon was just in time because I really needed that. And after that, I didn't really care about who did it. And then after that, the girl confessed and said she did it. And she was sorry. And that was just a blessing. So God's grace is sufficient. And also, like what Noelle said, we went out and gave tracts to the kids. They were, they gave them out to just about everybody they saw. And God asked me a question. If they can be so bold in their own country, why can't you be so bold in your own country? So that really convicted me because I'm not that bold in America. So because it's a whole lot easier to do it in the Dominican Republic because they don't speak your language. You can just walk right up to them and give them a track and they can't say anything to you. So so pray for me about being more bold about witnessing.
Through this English camp, God showed me three things. And those three things were, nothing is impossible with God. He really showed us that when we were getting all the support together, all the money for it, and we needed just in about 1 month, got all the money. The second thing is that we need to trust in the Lord. So with the first thing, he really showed me that I need to trust in him more. And Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." I realize that I need to rely on God instead of myself. And the third thing was that we need to seek God first. Some of the Christians down there, they're kind of like the world because they're used to doing those things before they become Christians. So I don't want to be like the world. I want to serve God, and I want him to be my number one.
Well, I've just added 6 more kids to my family, and I'm so excited. I know that they know I thought I was their mama, and I treated them like that, and I just feel like they're part of us. And I exhorted them, and I will continue to exhort them. And I don't know if y'all remember the last night before we left, my prayer for this group is that they would be impacted forever, that they would forever be changed with this trip, and that God would work in their lives. And if you've listened to them, they got as much out of the messages that our guys preached as the Dominicans did, if not more. And I think God has really used it in their lives and in my life. And I'm just in constant awe of his the weaving of his tapestry. If y'all have ever read that poem, how he takes the things of your life and weaves them together to make a beautiful picture. And this really goes back to when I was 10 years old. My parents were getting a divorce, and they sent me off to a camp as my place to be while they were doing their thing. And during that camp, a missionary spoke, and my heart was drawn to missions. And I didn't know that I would be a missionary, but I've just always had a heart for missions. And through that difficult childhood, I'd had no outlets to do anything with that. Went on into college and got married and then had a family. So I just always thought, well, I'll just have to support missions in prayer and in finances. And maybe through my children, maybe one of them will be a missionary. And I'm just so excited that God has allowed me at this stage of my life to actually be involved. And we've been down the Dominican now 4 times, and this is the first time we've really been involved with the community and with the kids. And God's just really got a hold of my heart, too, down there. And just done so much for all of us. One of the things, as you've heard from these girls especially, is that when we got down there, we had anticipated that there were going to be some people down there. In fact, they even told us that, yes, these teachers from the school are going to teach these English classes and you help them. Well, we got down there and that just totally vaporized. It wasn't happening. And they said, here, we had the books, we had everything. And they said, you're doing this. And we said, we're doing this. So we ended up with 5 different English classes. So Noelle, Kathy, Lisa, Becca Hutto, and David were teaching one. And then Christina and Daniel had one. So I ended up being in that class. And where Noelle was getting all her extra students was from my class. Because I was too hard and too mean. So they'd disappear out of my class and I'd go look for them. They'd be sitting in her class. Okay. She's having a lot more fun than we are. But it was great. And you saw in the video these guys and girls asleep on the back of a truck going up the mountain. And that's how tired they were. I mean, we were even out for fun that day. But they were so exhausted from just the whole week. The head teacher down there had told us, you cannot leave these kids alone for 1 minute. And they were 24/7. They were with them night and day. Couldn't leave them alone. Like they mentioned, there's no point of reference for discipline. They come from totally undisciplined homes. They just don't know any better. And so it's just a new experience for them to have any kind of guidelines or borders or anything, parameters put around them. So it's new for us. It's new for them. But a statement was made at the end of the week that just made me say it was worth it all. Ingrid, who was the head English teacher down there and kind of in charge of the camp, said that they have a lot of groups come down there. They have a lot of work groups. They have vacation Bible schools. A lot of groups come from America. And most of the time, the groups that come from America come with American values, with American music, with American dress, with American behavior. And she said most of the time, these Americans come there and they get impacted because they see the poverty and that impacts the Americans and they go home with a little bit of conviction. But she said this is the first time in her remembrance that an American group has ever impacted those Dominican kids. And that said so much to me, to have 3 salvations, 3 decisions among the boys there while we were there. One of the girls the day after we left, and then Rosa that she mentioned has been back to the teacher several times and actually is in constant contact. Rebecca is able to disciple these girls that are still down there. And we're just praying for fruit to continue through that ministry. We did leave the books. We left the Bibles and the tracts. And we just rejoice in that. One of the exciting things, the last day, the last service that we had, was the testimonies by the campers that were given. And in spite of all the fun things that we did all week long, the arts and crafts and sports and games and everything, so many of them got there and said, I loved the services. I loved listening to the messages. And they would be quiet. They would sit there through those services, through those messages, every night, every morning. And they would hear the gospel again in English class and in music class. And they said that they just loved hearing about the love of God and about the grace of God and about salvation of God. And no, they weren't ready to make decisions because they had to walk away from their lifestyles. But they loved hearing truth. So we walk away knowing that they've been exposed to truth, that they are now accountable to it. And we're just praying that the work down there will be able to complete what has been started down there. So we just pray that you would ask that you would continue to pray for those kids that we left behind that are just on the verge and those that made decisions that really need discipleship down there. Thank you.
just want to, first of all, just thank y'all for all y'all's support and our prayers. Without your prayers, this trip would not have been possible at all. The Lord really blessed me even before we left, as Noelle was talking about with hers. But the Lord, as y'all know, I got the opportunity to preach here for the first time, and I just want to take this opportunity to thank y'all for the offering that y'all took from me, because it just really, I got myself a few years past into debt, and I've been trying to purpose in my heart to become debt-free, and I had this certain amount left on my truck, and the offering was exactly the amount that I needed to pay my truck off. So before I went down to the Dominican, and the funny thing is, in school I'm in a financial freedom class, so I was debt-free before we left. A few weeks before, I was, you know, when they first came to me with it, I was thinking, well, I could probably pay for it, but I don't. And then quickly, the Lord showed me once I committed to going that I couldn't pay for it, and took all my money away and hid it somewhere. And but he ended up providing all the money plus some. I had, the day I left, we left to go to the airport, I had another $100 check that I still need to give to Mr. Jemanski that come in that I couldn't, you know, the Lord had already supplied so much money that I was just, you know, just giving them to Miss Debbie, because I had so many people just giving money to give to the mission. And the Lord just really blessed that. And while I was down there, I was able to meet a guy named Jim Strickland. And the Lord, me and him were kind of just alike in other things. We liked a lot of the same things. We both loved Mountain Dew, and that kind of just bonded us together. But we had a lot of talks while we were down there. He was able to encourage me. He said I was able to encourage him. I don't know much about that, but while before we left, Jim came to me and asked if he could have my email and my address. I said, okay, sure, so we can keep in touch. And he said, I've been so impressed with the way you've handled yourself and what you've stood for that I want to pay for your college this next semester, and I want to pay possibly the next and until you're done. So the Lord just really blessed in that way, because it was getting really tight on money for me, and my colleges just went up a little bit on their prices. So it's just a huge blessing on the Lord with that. But first, talking about our camp, we got there the first night of camp, that Sunday night, and I thought this is going to be a long week, because the boys in my cabin, as Mr. Metzger was saying, they have no discipline, they have no respect for authority. I tell them to do something, they just laugh at you and go on what they were doing. And so I want to take this opportunity to teach y'all the English lesson I taught them that night. We were laying there, and I have my, I forgot his name, whatever his name is, Hansel, laying beside me on the bunk next to me, the translator. And they wouldn't be quiet. I'd tell them to be quiet, and they just kind of mocked me. And so I was like, Hansel, I said, right now at 12 o'clock at night, I said, we're going to have our first English lesson. He's like, what? I said, translate it. He's like, so he yells it to all of them. I said, okay, first word, and I want y'all to say it with me, be. And then he translated, and they all said it. I said, now the second word, quiet. So they were all screaming that, and they were having a good time with it. I said, now I'm serious, be quiet. And then I got him to translate it, what it meant. So they still wouldn't be quiet. They still went on. And so then they were just all yelling, be quiet. Every time I'd come around, they'd say, be quiet. But that night, I was like, oh boy. I was like, well, maybe I can start taking stuff away from them. So I was like, okay, we got free time tomorrow. And I said, for every minute you talk, that's a minute off your free time. So they kept on talking, and I said, okay, uno. I started counting in Spanish as much as I knew. And I was like, uno. And then somebody go, uno. I was like, okay. I kept on talking. I was like, dos, dos. And, you know, they're mocking me as I'm going on saying this. And I finally got to five, and they're over there. And I'd say, five, six, seven, eight. And, you know, they're up there. I was like, y'all are counting your own time. I was like, okay, everybody, we're going in 30 minutes or 15 minutes early for free time. And then they kept on talking. I finally went to sleep. I don't know if they ever went to sleep, but John and Timothy were rooming with me, and I think they saw my frustration and wondered, what's he going to say next? But my patience is about that little, and when I got to the Dominican, it was about like that by the end of the week. But he just really, really helped us a lot in the cabin. There was a lot of frustration. There was a lot of tension because the guys are, but too, they were a lot of fun. They're full of fun. The two boys y'all saw me standing with, one was their brothers. One was Joan and one was Joel, 13 and 15 years old. The 13-year-old, I believe, is the one that was on the right side of me, was the one that got saved on Thursday. But the Lord was really helpful in the sermons. I was supposed to be preparing to preach three sermons and two chapels. Well, as usual, I procrastinate and only had two of them ready, and then still had to get two chapels and a message prepared. So while I was down there, after we had our fights of the night, and you know, I lost my patience with them, then I had to go up there to the dining hall and work on my sermon all night. So, needless to say, I didn't get much done at night. But the Lord really just gave me His grace and everything during with the translating and just going back and forth with that. One of the biggest things that I, the biggest blessings while we were there was when Yuan got saved. Friday morning was our last chapel service, and we went a little longer, giving the gospel and everything. And we had an invitation at the end. Well, at the end of the invitation, David, I can't remember what exactly he said, but basically invited anybody that wanted to get saved. And they were all sitting there quiet. And we looked over there, and Yuan was just sitting there crying. And he was bawling his eyes out. And then Dario, the one who was translating for David, starting to say something in Spanish that we weren't saying. And I was wondering what he was doing. But come to find out, the boys, the rest of the group of boys, were making fun of Yuan for crying and for getting emotional, and Dio was trying to tell him to whatever he needed to do, he needed to take care of it, not to worry about the boys and what they were saying. But that is before we left, when we stood up here that night, I asked the same thing that Brother Ricky did for NGM, that it wouldn't be anything that me and David preached or anything that we said, but it would be the Holy Spirit and His conviction. Well, there was, after, you know, it's not a real big invitation. It was just, if you want to be saved, come and be saved. He cried. He started crying until the end of it. And Ingrid was sitting next to him, and we got done with the service, and he was still over there just crying. And I looked at Ingrid, and I said, do we need to do anything? And she motioned us over there. So me and Dario went over there, and he was translating for me, and we just sat there. I said, is there anything you want to talk to us about? And he just kept on crying and kept on crying. And people kept on coming by, so we just went outside. Well, we went outside, and he cried even more. He just sat there for 2 minutes and just cried until I finally said, Yuan, I said, do you know where you would go if you died today? And Dario translated, and he said, yes, I do. And I said, where would you go? And he knew exactly where he was going. He was going to hell. And after that, we led him through some verses and through. And I asked him after he understood the verses and said he wanted to be saved, if he wanted to pray himself or if he wanted me to lead him in a prayer. He said, I'll pray myself. And that's, he prayed. I didn't understand what he was saying because he was speaking in Spanish. But he prayed, and he prayed for about 2 minutes and just crying, and I mean, it was real, really sincere, and Dario was crying because of the sincerity in his prayer and the sincerity. But that was one of the boys that I had throughout the whole week I had the most trouble with. Whenever there was trouble, he was usually the ringleader of it, and him and his brother are two of the most hyper ones in the group. So they were a handful. But after that, after he got saved, when he would come back after camp was over, and he would still argue like he usually would, but was with less intense. Because when they argue, I mean, they get in their face and they argue, and it looks like they're about to break out in a fight. But after that, you could tell a difference in his life. One of the biggest shocks I've seen this time, Miss Debbie asked us the last night before we went home, when we were sharing what was some shocks she's seen. And I had already been there once, but we didn't get to fellowship with people that much and get to know them. And I think the girls know what I'm about to talk about, but I was known as the party pooper of the camp, because I was always getting on to everybody and, you know, telling them not to do stuff. But one of the biggest shocks is the amount of touching and the amount of guys, when they would come up to the girls, and not just Dominican girls, but they would come up to the American girls, and when they come to take a picture, they'd, you know, pull them in closer. It was making them real uncomfortable. It's making me uncomfortable. Because before I left, I had a bunch of fathers tell me that I better take care of their daughters and take a bullet for them. But down there on the trip, they were my sisters. I treated them as my sisters. I tried to act as if they were my own sisters. And when I seen the guys, I would get on to the guys, but the reason that bothered me so much is because you don't know, especially I don't know about girls, for a guy, what it can do to you. Just a single touch or a look. How it can ruin your life, ruin your thoughts. It might seem harmless to rub shoulders or to, you know, to put your arm around a girl while you're taking a picture with them, but you don't know what, I know how us guys think. It's sad to say what we think, what goes through our minds, what the devil puts in our minds. And something that might seem harmless can end up ruining your life. My dad gave me an illustration the other day that he was talking about. He was talking about if you got a guy that was really good at holding his breath, and you get a big barrel of water and you hold him by his legs and hold him under. You hold him under for a minute the first time. You bring him back up, give him a breath, hold him under the next time for 2 minutes. Bring him back up, you hold him under the next time for 3 minutes or more. Pretty soon the guy's going to drown because he's not got enough air. And that's the same thing with touching or with looking at stuff we're not supposed to. As soon as we, you know, it might not be bad at the first time, you think you can handle it, but as soon as we think that we've got control of our thoughts, that we've got control of our lust, that's when Satan is going to get us, and that's when he's going to use it more and more and more until we get more comfortable and it leads to things. But that really spoke to me, and the Lord put a new hatred in my life for the things like pornography and all the lewdly dressed women in the world, and just I say caution to the girls here. If you want anything you can help the guys out more is with your dress. You can never be modest enough with your dress, because you don't know what it means to a guy to walk around and not have to turn his head and twist his neck to where he doesn't have impure thoughts. And I just caution y'all with that, and just ask y'all, please, to help us out. Because in the Dominican, it was, as I talked to the guys and just found out a lot about what they're thinking, about what they're going through. And because down in the Dominican, the guys are real forward. The girls are real forward. The girls will go up and just sit on the guys' laps and, you know, just all over you. Funny thing, we were on the bus on the way to the trip, and there was this girl that was always after me, this little 13-year-old girl, and it seemed like everywhere I went, her feet were somewhere near me. And we were sitting in the church service, and somehow she had gotten the row behind me, and I look, and her feet are stuck up through my chair. I was like, okay, this is weird. So I start moving over, trying to make it not look obvious. And I finally went and walked to the back when her whole leg was sticking up through my chair. But we were on the bus, and I fell asleep on the bus. And then I woke up, and her legs are in my lap. And I said, "Wow, this is weird. How long have I been asleep?" So I quickly pushed them off, but it just shows you how forward the girls are and how, you know, they'll, you know, just do anything. But the guys, you had to watch. We had, like Miss Debbie said, we were with them 24/7, and we were with them. You couldn't take your eyes off of them. We couldn't, you know, we couldn't watch them around the corner. You had to be with them. And as John said, we had a few situations, a few blow-ups. I lost my temper a couple times and had to apologize for it, but it seemed like the whole week we weren't getting through to them. We wasn't, you know, nothing was mean, because they still wouldn't listen to you. They still just laughed, and they didn't understand why we were getting upset. And they're saying, "What's wrong with you? You're the problem." I said, "No, you're the problem, not me." And, you know, they were wondering, like John said, they got upset with me because I took my frustration out on them. And was, but I think that night after I was telling them about authority and how we need to listen to our authorities, and it really just blessed me when they got up for their testimonies. I thought, well, they haven't learned anything about authority because they still don't listen to you. But and I still can't say his name, but I'll call his nickname that we gave him, Beef Jerky. He's a little chubby kid, but that was his nickname they called him. I think his name is Jerky, it's a weird one, hard one to pronounce. But he got up there and he was giving his testimony. He said, "We learned this week, when you don't obey your authorities, bad things can happen. When we don't do what they say, things can go wrong. And we learned that we need to obey our authorities and respect them." And I was like, "Well, there's one out of the bunch." I said, "I can't believe, I didn't think they were listening to anything we said." And, you know, when we'd be giving the morning devotions, they'd be crawling around the other side of the bed or, you know, doing something, looking, talking to each other and, you know, just not giving a hoot about what we were saying. And it was just really, but the Lord really did bless. I guess if there were no problems, it wouldn't be any fun. So the Lord just really, He really taught me a lot in how to depend on Him. And I just thank you for your prayers and support.
Don't worry, I'll be brief. You've already heard pretty much everything. I just want to mention a few things that we were really praising the Lord for and just wanted to share with you. First of all, the answers to prayer that were very clear in its provision for this trip, just above and beyond what we needed to have. He gave us boldness, especially when it came to sharing His Word, just a clear spirit of boldness. He gave us effectiveness. You heard that there have been 4 young people saved out of this English camp. The Lord gave us an effectiveness out of the prayers. He also gave us the love of Christ and patience in spite of certain situations that were difficult. It could have been a lot worse, but He really gave us His grace and His patience in dealing with those young people. He gave an attentiveness to the Word. Every time we opened the Scriptures, they got silent. These were kids who couldn't stop talking. 24/7, they could go, keep talking. But you open the Bible and they get silent. Only the Lord could do that. The nearness of God was also a very great blessing down there. The Dominicans say that God lives in the Dominican Republic, and you can almost believe it when you're down there and you're ministering, because He really shows Himself to you in a mighty way. He puts you in situations where you've got no one else to lean on, nothing else to lean on, and then He gives you the power to survive. Just a few examples of that. I got down there. This was Saturday night at supper, and I had gone down there planning to be preaching both Sunday evening services as well as during the week. And the missionary comes up to us at supper and says, "So which one of you is preaching tomorrow morning?" So we were there. I took a deep breath, said, "Lord, you know I'm not ready for it, but this is your work. This is your time. This is what you've got me here to do. By your grace, I'll do it." And so I said, I'll do it. and the Lord really gave His grace and really helped. He did a lot of things there that I could not have done. That week was just so much under His control. And there was also a situation. We were out in the city and had just had supper, and it was going to take us too long to get back to the village to have an evening service. So we were out on the pier, and my mom came up to me and said, "Well, why don't you just go ahead and preach?" I didn't have my notes. I didn't have my Bible with me even. It was back at the bus all the way across the street. I had 5 minutes while we were singing and getting ready to stand up and preach on a pier in front of the ocean here with people all around us, not just our group, but probably 70 or 80 people all around us. And so I stood up and started preaching, and by the Lord's grace, He gave me the boldness and gave me the words to say. He was always there at every moment. He would take us to the point of complete helplessness and then just pick it up. We got real pictures of nothing is impossible with God. That was our theme song one day, and we got real pictures of that. Another thing we do want to thank the Lord for is the spiritual growth that we saw in the Dominican believers while we were down there, and the spiritual growth in our own team and in our own hearts. He was really good. Really good to us. The theme of that camp was, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And I don't think that it could have been any more clear to us and through us than it was. The Lord really fulfilled that verse in us. He was good.
Brother Matt.
Amen. Well, I think you can see from that the Lord did so many amazing things down there. He'll probably write a book with everything that happened, and we look forward to hearing more of that in the future. Now, I'm going to do something very unusual here. We're going to close the service out, but before we close the service out, I would like everyone who is 25 years of age or younger to stand up. 25 years of age or younger to stand up. All right. I want everyone in the church to look at these faces, look all around here. Take a look at everyone. All right. Okay, you can be seated. Now I'd like everyone to bow their head and close their eyes. I've got a question first to the people who went on this trip. What's next? What's your next step? What does God have for you to do for the rest of your life? And then I expand that question to everyone else who stood. What's next for you? Maybe you're in school, maybe you're in college, maybe you're in neither one of them at this point, and you're working a job or you're looking for a job. What's next for you? And then I think the question comes to us as older people, adults, 25 and older, let's say. What can we do to help them? And I'm going to cut to the chase here. Think about when you were, say, 15 to 25 years of age. Think all the thoughts that were going through your mind as you were trying to figure out what in the world you were going to do with your life. You had all these questions raging inside of you. You didn't have a clue what to do. Sometimes you just started working a job. Sometimes in some of your lives you sought the Lord and you got clear direction. Some of you, you look back and you say, "I never really sought the Lord. I wish that I had done that." But that's where these kids are now. Every one of these kids who stood up are at some point in that progression. Some of them know what God has called them to do, and they're working hard to get towards it. Some of them have an idea, and they're trying to get clarification from the Lord. Some don't have a clue, but they are willing to do whatever God wants. And honestly, there are some who really don't care at this point. But in the end, we're praying that they will get to that point. What can you do for them? I would encourage you, when you get home, to think of those faces, take the book of Colossians, chapter 1, start in verse 9, and read through verse 12. Paul gives the perfect formula for us as believers to pray for these young people. Let me read those three verses quick. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There is a prayer in there that you can pray for them, that they would have clear wisdom, clear knowledge of God's will. There's a prayer that they would know God. There's a prayer that they would be fruitful. There is a prayer that they would be strengthened by God's power. There is a prayer that they would live a life that's worthy of the Lord and please Him in everything that they could do or everything that they undertake. It wasn't that long ago that I was in their shoes, and some of you it wasn't that long ago that you were in their shoes. They need our prayers. They are the next generation of this church. If they are not fruitful believers, we go extinct. If they do not bear fruit 50, 60 years down the road, we're nowhere. They need our prayers. Think of those faces. As you saw those faces, I would invite you tonight to make the commitment. The young people who stood on the stage, they're just a picture. They're just a picture of the young people in this congregation and what God could do with each one of them if they would surrender and if they would let Him live His life through them. I encourage you to pray. We're going to go ahead and have our invitation here. These altars are open. Young people, you might have heard something that was said. Older people, you might have heard something that was said. You were challenged by it. I challenge you to come up here and do business with the Lord on it. If you'll stand to your feet, Father, I ask that Your will would be done here. I ask, Lord, that You would bring every person to the point to where we are remembering daily to pray for these young people. Lord, that You would do a mighty work among them and that we will see literally this area and this world turned upside down by the young people of Crooked Creek Baptist Church.